I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Pull up to my bumper, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool got a last gasp winner. Neil Warnock was gutted. And Portsmouth have won a trophy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Football Ramble here.
Marcus, I will not have you reusing your intros from previous rambles. You've definitely done pull up to my bumper, baby.
Do you know what? I just asked Jim that.
Did you?
You whispered it into my ear. I don't know if I remember it.
It's because Spurs are kind of choking a little bit. Well, you know.
Have I used it before?
You've got
Grace Jones?
We've only had 1,000 of these shows. You need to be thinking of new ones.
Anyway, let's get on to the opening question.
No, I think I might. Did I use it a few weeks? If I did.
Who's getting interested in the Dean Wendell Solar Fair?
It's a bloody good song.
I hate.
And they still haven't pulled up to my bumper. No. So would you get there, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah.
I hate that we have got a new theme tune. I hate we don't do the opening question anymore. And I hate there's no Dean Wendell Solar Fair.
I hate Marcus's bumper. Yeah. Mainly because of the bumper stickers. They're rather fringe.
And I hate the fact that this new guy, Pete Donaldson, keeps chipping off.
People will not pull up to your bumper, Marcus, as long as you've got an InfoWars bumper sticker on there.
Oh, have you been watching the deposition of Alex Jones?
Yes.
It is. I watched about an hour of it and then questioned what I was doing with my Saturday afternoons.
And when Pete
I've no
Donaldson,
idea what it is.
Yeah.
When Pete Donaldson is questioning the use of his time,
when you say
a man who has singularly dedicated his life to wasting time in the most arch way possible.
I'm a little jealous of Alex Jones's body. Like
it's
he's a proper bare chest, proper
yeah.
barrel chested man. He's really wide and really short.
He's got that Ray Winston, Robin Williams type body type. Barrel chested.
Muscular
hairy.
But with Evan never having worked out.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Solid eggs.
Remind me who he is.
Alex Jones, angry. He's a fringe conspiracy theorist. He's in the dock because he was saying horrible things about the Sandy Hook parents and all that nonsense. Oh, Christ,
he's a terrible man. He's a terrible human being. But it doesn't matter, Marcus. It's not what we're here.
No, exactly. I'm waiting to talk about football.
Well, we're the InfoWars of podcasting, aren't we, really?
Stop that.
Let's talk about football, baby.
Yeah.
Ah, football. They're turning the footballers gay.
Suckers.
Suckers. Yeah.
Bro, that's enough.
Yeah, right.
That's like it. That's like him.
Yeah, we're getting involved. Liverpool, they beat Tottenham Hotspur 2-1 in the Premier League. How big a moment could that Lloris spill and Alderweireld own goal be this season? How big could it be in terms of the title? Pete Donaldson, I put it to you.
Lloris is having a bad season.
Not what I asked you.
It is big, but I mean, Manchester City's still in the driving seat because obviously they've got a game in hand, and I imagine they'll...
Man City's still in the title race.
Just about.
But if they drop points, it's an exciting run. Actually, they're calling it on Sky's website.
What, SkySports.com?
SkySports.com.
No way.
Yeah, we all love it. Yeah. It's up there with RambleLive.com in many ways. Get your tickets now. Gary Neville was quoted saying they'll be ready for the run. Running, and they put running in capital letters. So I'm thinking that Sky's going to use running as their kind of like the end of season kind of, you know,
branding,
giving it the big league. So running is my tip for the word of the summer.
Do you remember Survival Sunday?
Yeah.
Survival Sunday is always a big one.
We like a running because last season it was a walk-in, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But it's not the first time. People are making a thing of this. Not the first time Liverpool have got a fortuitous winner late on this season. Of course, Pickford, Everton game, and I think there was Spironi for Palace was there, and whatnot. And
well, they knock on the door, though, don't they?
They knock on that door.
You'd rather be a lucky general than a good one.
Certainly, yeah. Mm. I mean, you could argue that Liverpool didn't deserve to win the game. I mean, certainly it could have gone the other way. But you look at Liverpool's home form. Here's a stat for you. Liverpool's total of 79 points is their best tally after 32 matches of a top-flight season. And that's adjusting for 3 points for a win, surpassing the 76 they had in 1987-88. That's how good they are. But of course, if Man City win their game in hand, they go top of the league by a point, don't they? So Liverpool, is it luck? Is it perseverance? I mean, yes, of course, there's an enormous slice of luck with the way Lloris spills the ball and it just tamely goes in and infuriating if you're a Spurs fan. But if you're a Liverpool fan, there are these things. Now, you could say, well, hang on, are we destined to win the league? We've had a little helping hand. Or you could say, well, do you know what? Liverpool are just getting over the line in certain games, whereas Man City don't look like they're failing at all.
Mm, well, but the thing is, though, I mean, Man City have ground out a few wins and people say the whole sign of a good team thing. True. Whereas people seem reluctant to do that for Liverpool. And I don't really understand why that is. Uh-huh. I think that was what Klopp has been criticised for and Liverpool have been criticised for in the last two or three seasons, that they don't have that versatility, and now they're displaying it and people are saying it's a sign of weakness.
But yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
And it's no coincidence that Liverpool are undefeated at home this season, and those wins in the league, and those wins come along in a variety of different ways. Sometimes they blow teams away, sometimes they sneak it like they did at the weekend. Yeah, they're top of the table for a reason, right? Their away form is their away record in the Premier League this season is the best in the league. And their home record is second best, just behind Man City's by a point. So, you know, there's no coincidence that this kind of thing happens to them, because they're a good team, and that's a hallmark of a good team.
I tell you what, I do love an Andy Robertson cross.
Oh, that was one of the best crosses of the season. That it's a
glorious.
Fantastic
him and
cross.
Trent Alexander-Arnold putting the balls in from wide. It's so
such
good
a weapon.
It was so good a cross that it would have been an absolute insult to not score.
Yes,
you know why? Because if he hadn't scored Firmino then, it would have been a forgotten passage of play. Mm-hmm. And that cross deserved more than that.
A bit like Luke Shaw's pass for Rashford against Watford.
Yes.
If Rashford, who finished quite nicely, it's such a great pass from Shaw. You know, you want them to be put away. You want that, it deserves
an assist.
Lovely
finish as well, wouldn't it,
a lovely finish, yeah. But back to Liverpool. But Firmino, perfect striking play. A header in that position. You head it down, bounce off the ground. No goalkeeper that will ever exist, robotic or otherwise, will save
Gordon
that.
Banks.
Oh yeah, that's a point.
Famously made a career of it.
No. But that was
it's only Pele, wasn't it?
Yeah. true.
But Pele recently tweeted that whole game had to be replayed because the fans were so upset about it. And then in the replay, he actually scored.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I thought I was right. But Robertson was man of the match. He's had a great season for Liverpool. There's no doubt about that. But Liverpool, when they need to swarm, they swarm. And when they need to go forward, and that was. Talk about I need to call it the Klopp, which would be appropriate, I suppose. The cop sucking the ball into the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want more further evidence, I'm actually pretty sure that Uri Geller was in the crowd because there was definitely
100%
something, some force.
And he's got a lot on at the moment.
He's got an awful lot on.
That's how thrilling this title race is.
Yeah.
If Geller's getting involved, you know it's a good one. But how damaged is this for Spurs? They're only a point above sixth placed Chelsea. The race for the top four. Well, third and fourth really is a fascinating.
It's really exciting.
It's become fascinating.
One point
it?
Separates them. 14, I think Arsenal got a game in hand there.
A what fest did you just say, Jim?
You what? Sorry,
you said it was something fest.
I didn't. I'd forgotten what I said.
I think Jim said it's a Champions League hopeful fest.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I want to put something to the table. Uh-huh. I'm not saying this is my opinion, but I think it's worthy of discussion.
Uh-huh. Move the food out of the way.
Very good.
Come on.
Spurs have got a lot of home games left. Yeah. And the reason they've got a lot of home games left, I think they've got, if you include the Champions League game, they've got, actually, let's not include that because it doesn't count towards the league. They've got 5 home games left. Now, the reason for that clearly is because they've front-loaded a lot of their away games because of this new stadium. I know Liverpool have done it in the past because of their main stand being open at Anfield. Is it fair that we get into a situation where a team has now got a load of home games? Yeah. Now, you might say, oh, yeah, but they played all the away games earlier in the season. Yes, they did when their players were fresher, when there wasn't as many suspensions and injuries and all the rest of it. Is it, not fatally, but is it damaging the competition for a team to be allowed to be in that position?
I think it is. We've talked about this before, though. I've said they should do it in the summer. That's the only time they should
just
do it.
As well, because it's just as well they're playing Man City in Manchester. Because if Man City had to go to Spurs' new stadium for that fixture, I know they will in the Champions League, but I'm talking about Premier League.
Yeah,
you know, that could give Spurs an edge there. Now, Spurs, the great thing for Liverpool is really they're looking at Spurs doing them a favour against Man City.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Oh, no, they've still got the Manchester derby.
Yes, having chatted to a few Man United fans, I think they'd rather Man City won the league than Liverpool. You know, so I'm not going to question the players' integrity there. Atmosphere in a stadium can.
I know with the stadium. I mean, you say they should do it in the summer. I know these projects are so big that it's impossible. Mm. But I think you mean the transition should be in
the transition. Should be, okay. It's a completely unlevel playing field. But that said, if they lose their first match, it could be a kind of West Ham kind of situation, and they just stink up the place for the last 5 matches anyway. So
I can't see that happening when the season has started, though. I think there's such momentum at Spurs at the moment, and they're so excited about the
did
stadium.
You watch right the weekend?
It looks amazing.
Yeah, well, no, they could have got something, though. It's not.
I think moving into a new stadium like that will energise them.
Is it fair to say this won't be the most successful stadium migration of all time?
Already been done, mate.
What's happened?
Well, you're actually playing 5 matches away because you haven't played there before.
True enough.
This is all new to me.
Sissoko had a chance late on.
He did, and I thought Van Dijk's defending in that position was very good.
I'm glad you said that because I thought he was very effective in what he did.
His body movement was brilliant.
It was excellent. Any young defenders watching there should take note that clearly Sissoko wants to play the ball to Son there.
Yeah.
Son is a better finisher, but also as well, I think when you're driving forward and you've got a defender, you can slip the other man in who's ready to go and naturally plays further up the field. And Van Dijk is very difficult for a defender because I think one of the Rangers defenders tried to do this. It's slightly different actually. We'll talk about the old firm in a bit, but when he comes forward and Van Dijk is essentially thinking, right, what do I do here? Because if you don't do either, then you can
get completely caught out. Well, the old textbook will tell you to go to the ball, right?
Yeah.
But he has his position in such a way that he stops the pass.
Yes.
And now I'll admit that he's got a little bit of knowledge in the back pocket that Moussa Sissoko has scored a grand total of 0 Premier League goals this season. It would be a bit of an insurance policy.
That's right.
But he was positionally so good because he was close enough to Sissoko to make him think, but in the right position to stop the pass.
I mean, Sissoko got the shot away. In hindsight,
it was a shot of sorts, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if he scores, obviously. But that's the thing is, what we're saying is Van Dijk is clearly second favourite for all of those scenarios.
It's 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, so if Sissoko actually scored that, you wouldn't think, oh, that's bad defending. It was actually, in hindsight, because he blazed it over the bar.
It was excellent.
And he put him onto his left foot and made Sissoko, as you say, who doesn't score very many at all.
Doesn't score any.
Yeah, it doesn't score any ever
in the Premier League.
Not even in training, I hear.
But the error, the Lloris error, was. I obviously didn't see the game live because I was doing something else. We'll talk about that later. But the error was something that has punctuated Lloris' season.
Yeah,
he seems to always have that in his locker. Sadly,
Jermaine Genus made a really great point about this on Matchday too, which was for every late penalty save, you get one of those, and it is costing Spurs points at this point. And it's like,
he should have eaten that up, shouldn't he, that header. It was a really tame header. I know it's late in the game, bit of fatigue. He's got players around him. It's always when we talk about goalkeeping errors, and we talked about it with the goal, De Gea's one, where the ball just went into the centre of the goal when he was bamboozled by the swerve on the ball. I felt then, and I also still feel now, for most of us, if not all of us who aren't goalkeepers, it's always harder than it looks. Always.
Yeah,
and I think if you make a mistake, it's done. It's absolutely done. And that's what happened.
Indeed it was, yeah.
Still, it's Toby's her name on the old score sheet though, isn't it? So Hugo won't mind that.
Yeah, we mentioned Van Dijk there. He's going to have to move home soon with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his landlord, being given the Man United job, of course, on a permanent basis.
Have to pack up all his cups.
Yeah.
I imagine all the doors in the house are really low down, so he's probably happy to move. Solskjaer's quite diminutive.
I can see a situation where he has to move before the end of the season. Liverpool win the Premier League. Van Dijk gets drunk because he's celebrating and he goes home to the wrong house and wakes up Ole Gunnar. It looks like he's lording up over a rival team's manager.
I've never understood people who go to their old house because they're that done in.
I've done it before.
Have you?
Not because I was so drunk, but because I was on autopilot. My mum, when we moved house once, my mum got so far as to try and couldn't work out why a key wouldn't fit in the front door.
Brilliant.
Of someone else's house.
I've got a lot of time for that.
So imagine if Virgil did that.
Surely Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's not going to kick him out before the end of the season, or is he?
Do it.
Imagine that. Yeah,
if you're listening, Ole, do it.
Try and derail Liverpool's title, baby.
Yeah. The night before a game.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened? Why didn't you win the title? Our rival team's manager made our best defender homeless.
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Yeah. He put asbestos
game.
In the walls.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, a great win for Liverpool, though. The title race continues to bounce
on. What do you think? Make a call. What do you think?
I said, Matt, I think Man City will
I
just
do as well. I do.
I'll put it right out there. I'd rather Liverpool. Right. Not because I have vested interest in
either side. It's something new, isn't it?
It's something different. To be honest, in this day and age, I know it's small fry and I know the way a lot of the big clubs source their money. Some can be questionable. Man City is extremely questionable, perhaps at the top of the list of that. I honestly think it would be good for football if Liverpool.
Absolutely.
But if Man City win, well done. I'd be happy for you as well. So don't bother tweeting.
I want to see Liverpool win it just again because it's interesting. But also, a lot of the things that people say against that, it's like, oh God, if Liverpool win the league, you know what their fans are like, we'll never hear the end of it. But like, if you're a Liverpool fan, where everyone's going, you've never won the Premier League, and people are having a go at you for the idea of never hearing the end of it, I think you'd probably be a bit annoyed about that. So I think they've earned that.
A right to reply. Jim.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Down the other end, Huddersfield are relegated. They lost 2-0 at the Palace. Of course, Southampton beat Brighton and Burnley beat Wolves. They've been bottom of the league since Boxing Day. They joined Derby and Ipswich as being the only teams in Premier League history to be relegated with 6 matches left. If they fail to score more than 2 goals in their remaining matches, they'll be the lowest or joint lowest scorers in a Prem season ever. Surprisingly, though, Jan Sievert said that, or sounded like he wanted to stay on.
Yeah, it's a weird situation which he's been parachuted into, though, isn't it? And I mean, with all respect to them, they have been out of their depth this season, and they punched so heavily above their weight, getting to the Premier League at all, and then staying there, that it was going to be so difficult to sustain. And, they've not disgraced themselves despite that stat, have they? They've just been uniquely difficult situation, I suppose, because they are so far out of there.
I think a lot of Huddersfield fans have got to be quite philosophical about this. And I think I think certainly on social media and whatnot, we've seen a lot of them saying, "Do you know what the memories we've had?" I think The memories live on, and they will live on. And you know, would you swap that for another couple of sort of half decent seasons in the Championship? I know the Championship's a great season, a great league, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing Fulham back in it next season, where they can put in a few better performances. But what a jaunt it's been.
The other factor to consider is the David Wagner thing, because I don't think for a second, and I think I've might have said this before, that had he not decided to leave, that he would have been sacked. I mean, even if they're relegated this season, he would have kept his job, I think. Yeah. And I think Huddersfield have used this as almost like an extended holiday. Yeah, much like when Portsmouth were in the Premier League, it felt a bit like, this is crazy. I mean, the holiday went on a little bit longer than I thought it would.
And it cost more than you thought.
And let's say we lost our luggage on the way home. but I think Huddersfield will relish being back in the Championship. There's loads of games to get stuck into. Really, put in simple terms, they'll start winning some more games.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing to be fearful of in the Championship. I know everyone, or the media, want everyone to believe that the Premier League's the way to be, and it's the promised land and all the rest of it. And for a lot of people, it can be. There's nothing wrong with the Championship. I think Huddersfield, as Jim's really accurately summed up, they're out of their depth this season, but there's no disgrace in that.
Yeah, if you're in Newcastle or Aston Villa, you need to be in the Prem.
Yeah,
obviously Villa are timing their run well, but for a club like Huddersfield, and even for Fulham as well, I know Fulham aren't down yet. But I've always said there's worse places to be than the Championship, especially clubs like that. You want to be top half of the Championship.
But also, Huddersfield have now shown themselves and their supporters and football, really, that they can be promoted into the Premier League and they can stay up there. And, you know, when Wigan came up, when Hull came up, that seemed as crazy, didn't it? And as unlikely.
Yeah.
And those, you know, after a while, it was just normal. And yeah. Huddersfield are now among those clubs. So,
yeah, certainly,
you
know. Yeah. But Palace, it was a good win for them and a vital one as well. Milivojevic scored his traditional penalty.
Yeah, he did.
9 this season in the league he's got.
They are very dependent on that.
he is in the top 2 penalty takers in the league, in my opinion.
He's quality. With Zaha, who wins loads of penalties, and him putting them away.
It's a great combo.
It's a great double act, and it works for them. But they've not been great at home this season, Palace. They were wasteful a little bit until the penalty.
I think they've been the third worst home team in the league after Huddersfield and Fulham, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Andros Townsend missed a bit of a sitter.
Did he? Oh dear, the games are tick-tock, tick-tock.
Marcus Speller.
The games are running out. Marcus is going to have to do the very first of our live shows on the Ramble Tour in September and October. Completely Billy Bollocks. If he doesn't get another goal.
That's nothing to do with the bet, though.
Yeah, no, it's how you like to do it. Yeah.
That was more numerous requests from people who wanted to see
whose
me.
IP addresses have been traced back to a library near Marcus Speller's house.
We don't have to talk about that now.
Marcus Speller's a library.
but Palace, though, they're up to 13th and they're 8 points from the relegation zone. So it should be enough of a buffer. I've certainly been saying, you know, with Townsend's goals and whatnot, they'll be okay.
But with them in the situation they're in, it's not the points anyway, it's the teams.
Yes.
Because there's only one place now, realistically. Fulham will be relegated in the next couple of weeks or whatever. Mm. So there's only one team that can go down. Uh-huh. And the very idea that Newcastle, Brighton, Southampton and Burnley are all going to overhaul Palace, to me, seems very unlikely.
Yeah. It does seem ridiculous, yeah. Yeah. But it's still, though, for Palace, to get that 3 points, to be 8 points rather than 5 above poor old Cardiff, who we'll talk about in the second part.
Warlock spells did not
come
work.
Come on, wait for it. It's much better reading for Crystal Palace.
Definitely.
It's all very well saying, oh, well, there's other teams down there. You've got to get the points. And Huddersfield at home, it's a bit of a gimme for them. And they took it eventually. Mm. So they'll be a lot happier about that. All right, then. We're going to talk about Cardiff after this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
RambleLive.com.
Get involved. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's now time for emails with that guy over there, PTD.
Oh, that's so many.
got mail.
Bad beat.
I pressed the button for the email stab and was surprised.
How quick it was.
How quick it was.
PB, yeah. Should I say.
I was like, wow, my hand is so efficient. good.
Beats Donaldson, what's going on?
Hello to, who have we got here? Christopher Hamilton, quite a few people got in touch about this. Apparently Jeff Stelling and Sky Sports will be at Clagan Park covering Fort William on Saturday. Ooh. It's happening. It's live.
Wow, amazing. Mm. Quite patronising as well.
Have you heard our content?
Yeah.
Output?
If you're going to patronise, at least get in there first.
thank you for your patronising. Yeah. Ryan in Arizona says, hello all. Following the brief discussion of whether or not keepers could become kickers in the NFL, I felt the need to share the story of Tony Meola.
Ah, yeah. Big Tony.
For non-American fans, he was a starting goalkeeper for the US in the 1990 and 94 World Cups and still the youngest captain in World Cup history when he captained the team in 1990, age just 21. Long story short, after the 94 World Cup, Meola was briefly signed by the New York Jets. Despite never having kicked an American football in any competitive setting, he lasted 3 preseason games before being cut from the team and returned to round footballs.
Hmm. So there we had a ponytail, I think, El Meola.
Hmm, that rings a bell. Hello to William Elder, who you said a mysterious footballer that you didn't say the name of last week, I think.
That was me.
That was Jim.
Was it you? Mm-hmm. Say that he was younger than he, older than he actually is. Yes. William Elder, guess it.
Okay.
Did he go to the same school, perhaps?
He joined my friend's school from Nigeria, and he's a lot older than what
he
says.
You've given a clue there.
What?
Although, to be fair.
Come on. They've got form. that particular country. Tom says, my friend has just messaged me to say he has a ticket to see your London live show. He knows absolutely nothing about football and has never listened to your show. He's going because it's part of a work social evening out.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Oddly well prepped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make sure you tell him about Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, he won't know. He won't learn anything coming to see us.
Yeah.
A work team night out going to see us.
That's all right.
Crazy.
In a team building.
Oh, I remember when I had a job.
Uh-huh.
No,
I don't know about this. Are we going to get like stags and hens and birthdays?
Maybe.
Don't get bums on six, mate.
We won't get any hens.
Yeah, if you are a woman who's thinking about coming, come. The queue for the toilet is always very short.
Yeah.
As Tom said. So what are your 3 top tips for someone who knows nothing about football to do to fit in a Ramble live show? Top 3 tips. You got
top
to know
3
who Keegan is.
You got to know who Keegan is.
To be honest, take a piss before you take your seat. Because people could get up going to the toilet. It's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just going
to
tell you.
People behave like an adult.
3 gripes.
The house.
3 gripes.
I mean, the last show we did was post FA Cup final, and people were liquored up.
I suppose the fourth tip would be just sit back and enjoy.
Yeah. Enjoy Marcus in his natural environment. Enjoy Pete's outfits. Yeah. You know.
Come with an open mind.
That's the one.
And join us for a beer after. That's the most important thing.
John, just wondering if you guys are willing to accept some responsibility for Gabby Agbonlahor calling time on his playing career. Think about it. You purchased a greeting for Marcus, which then created traffic to him, driving up the price, which possibly convinced him to decide to hang up his boots and not bother looking for another club. We could be culpable.
I don't think he's on the that website anymore.
What?
Yeah,
we
got
called
in,
from Cameo.
In. Yeah, maybe. But he was pictured in a kebab shop.
He was, yes. With a classic 3 a.m. I don't know what time it was, but it looked like 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's not 3 in the afternoon, is it?
Because you don't have a kebab at 3 in the afternoon unless you're in Turkey or something. How many buttons are undone? Maybe three or four?
Mm. Yeah, too many.
Almost
too many,
to the navel.
Thought he looked good.
Anyone looks good with a shirt on. You look sexy.
Anyone.
I went to... That's a great insight of Pete's psyche, that is. Anyone looks good with their shirt open.
Jim, how many... And they're press studs, so they're really easy to do back up. You've got one button undone now.
All right. Do you want to judge it as I go?
Yeah. Do another one.
One.
Yeah, Jim looks fine, actually. But
right, give me one more, Jim.
One more.
Too many.
Release the beast.
You've got to be a certain person to get the third one.
So yeah. I went to my doctor recently, and the because I'm always ill, and the receptionist there is this quite sort of like cool looking younger guy who had 3 or 4 shirt buttons undone. I don't want some weird intimidating guy as the receptionist while I'm trying to sort out my
The only possible excuse is that he's just done an electrocardiogram.
No, there's no excuse.
He hasn't put his shirt back on.
But it was when you walked in and he went, "Are you Jim from the football ramble?"
Yeah, and then he started unbuttoning his shirt. Yeah. I don't like it. It's over familiar.
That happens a lot to me.
Jim, you recently went to hospital for a splinter.
It wasn't that recent. It's because 111 told me to, and I was like, "Are you sure?" And that's what it says here.
Did you say eye instead of finger?
Sorry?
A splinter in my eye.
Maybe I did.
Finally, for now, Ryan says, "Hi, Ramblers. Derby sell a quarter of a Chicago Town pizza for £2.80. Considering you buy a whole thing from your local shop for £2.50, how many points should be deducted?"
Yeah. You shouldn't be eating pizza at football games.
Why not?
It's a pie. Push a burger.
Come on. I don't know. It's very portable food. It's actually, if you think about it, it's probably the best.
Burn your mouth. Burn the roof of your mouth.
Well, you're not an amateur.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
It's a risk. You could frisbee it into the away crowd and they could get covered in hot cheese.
Exactly. And that would be irresponsible.
Mm. Very irresponsible.
I've got loads of stuff here about Neil Warnock. Can we do that?
Of course, yeah. Let's move on to Cardiff.
Showthefootballramble.com if you want to get involved. And if you want to get your tickets to the live show, it's ramblelive.com.
Nice one, PT. Late comeback from Chelsea, of course. Left old Neil Warnock gutted. And he was gutted. And he had every right to be gutted.
Yeah.
That image of him just stood looking at the officials with his head, with his hands on his hips,
isn't it?
Mm. I thought his head... I mean, either way, his hands were displaying how disgusted.
Hands on his hips. He was, as Neil Warlock, he was putting a curse on the.
Yeah. You know, he was trying
the
to
hairline curse. Visibly receded.
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't like a bull, you know, getting the old kicking the dust out of the way and ready to attack. He looked a bit defeated, and I do actually worry for Cardiff now.
Yeah.
Because you saw our Warlock there, and it's going to take a big effort now for him to get the players going after they lost that one. To lose it in the manner they did. I mean, you saw. Oh, what's his name? The man of the match, Aaron Gunnarsson.
Gunnarsson, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you saw his reaction.
Human. Yeah.
And if they got a point, you know, if it's a late header for 1-1, you've still got a point there. Mm. The manner in which they lost it, the offside goal, come on.
Yeah.
And it really is damaging for Cardiff City now. 5 points. Okay, they have a game in hand on Burnley.
Yeah, but that's Man City away.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
What was the televisual's explanation for?
Well, presumably he didn't see it.
There was no explanation. They don't give him.
Was there not a player stood in the way? That's the theory.
Well, that's what people said.
The explanation is he didn't
Which
see it.
Obviously not good enough.
But there was no kind of, this phase of play, that phase of play. He just didn't see it.
I just thought he might have thought it came off the defender rather than the...
He thought he wasn't offside. Mm.
But the officials don't come out and explain the decisions very often, if at all, anywhere. And I can understand Warlock being gutted because clearly...
That could relegate him.
Yeah, could do.
Well, when people say, they even it out over a season, I understand the point of that. And yes, it's true. But on another hand, it's not true because that really has cost Cardiff, that decision. Mm. You'd imagine they'd hang on for at least a point, maybe all three. And that is absolutely massive. And as I say, it's going to take a monumental effort because...
At what point does Neil Warnock's reaction to the decision become irresponsible?
Well, this is it. And that's why I'm concerned for him and Cardiff. I thought he was on the edge of that, very much so.
Because he said to TalkSport after the game, "When I came in yesterday, my wife said to me, 'Darling, if you had wanted to thump the referee and linesman, I wouldn't have stopped you.'" Can't really say that.
No. That's silly. But look at the context of where Neil Warnock is in his career. You know, this is going to be one of the last seasons he manages. The situation Cardiff have found themselves in this season, or themselves in this season, due to the obviously awful circumstances with Emiliano Sala, emotions are running high. And that sort of thing is going to perhaps bring that out. You know, it's going to burst that bubble and you're going to get that sort of volcanic eruption. And obviously, he needs to keep himself in check a lot more. But I think that's why the sort of almost volcanic fury
I can understand him being annoyed. I just think that sort of language is pretty irresponsible. I also think that's after the game when he's had the time to think the assistant referee should be demoted for it. Because if you're going to be an assistant referee and you're going to miss something that obvious, regardless of the circumstances,
Well, either or, the officials make mistakes, but if we're talking about Cardiff and Warnock, you know, like you say, they're away to Man City next. They could get hammered there. Now, off the back of that, then you get a hammering. Your 5 point, their goal difference is far inferior to that of Burnley's and most other teams, in fact, all other teams above them. And then after that, they have a huge one against Burnley. It's absolutely massive.
But that's the must-win one, that is.
That is the massive. Yeah. The massive must-win one.
That is the massive.
Absolutely right. So it really is gutting for Cardiff. And I'm not even going to do the Neil Warnock impression.
Yeah, I'll do it a little bit.
Oh, I'm absolutely gutted. because of the banner of it. And I genuinely feel sorry for him. But, you know, these things happen in football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. A curse on your grandchildren.
Yeah, I think
people were fuming at Chelsea as well, weren't they? The fans weren't very happy with Chelsea either. So.
They were singing, "We want Sarri out" at 1-0 down.
It looked like that had been... Tide had been, you know, stemmed.
By basically them just picking up wins. But I mean, before this game against Cardiff, they lost, didn't they?
Yeah,
they're beaten by Everton away. It's kind of a bit of a poor result against an inconsistent team.
Good to see. Now, when Chelsea, they're away to a side who could be relegated. Chelsea need to get points, but he rested one or two players and whatnot. But they need they need a little bit more, something to reinvigorate them, perhaps, especially going forward. It's good to see Hudson-Odoi on the bench for that game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. You know, always he's always a threat. You can bring him on at any time.
Didn't, though.
Yeah.
Didn't bring him on.
You're going to lose a job.
It's important for these players to play their way into the team by playing for their international side.
How did that happen? England's the way to play your way to the Premier League now.
So weird. It's like a blind spot, isn't it? It's like Sarri's looking over the bench going, who is that?
Yeah.
he said in the press conference before the game that he didn't watch his didn't watch his game for England.
Why would he?
But the thing is, I understand that, like...
Get the press on side.
I understand if you've got a lot of international players to watch, and that, I get that. Mm. But at least, he said he watched 20 or 25
minutes.
What's
Pedro going to do now that's going to surprise him?
No, it's true. But also, though, he said, I watched 20 or 25 minutes of it. And people were saying, that's a disgrace or whatever. What I think's probably happened is, they've put together a tape for him.
Yeah.
And he's watched it.
Yeah.
But that's one issue. The second issue is just that what Horncastle says on the Continent about Sarri is just he can't control what he says. There's some phrase in Latin, Italian, which is there are no hairs on the tongue. And some players, some people just say what they think all the time.
Right.
And he's listed as being one of these kind of people. Or,
I mean, they wouldn't have any hairs on his tongue. All that's cigarettes he shoots.
Exactly. But do you know what I feel like saying? And I'm not saying it's always great to lie, but just say you watched it. Mm. No one's going to know.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. How do you know? I'm a football manager. I watched it, all right? It was great.
Yeah. Well, if someone says to you, did you see, I don't know, that match in Serie A, like Milan versus Sampdoria or something, I'm not going to go, no, I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
All right, did you not see it? Well, I watched the highlights.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
You know.
He's under pressure because of that kind of stuff as much as anything else, I think. Because on paper, they're actually doing okay. They're still in the Europa League.
They are.
They're 1 point off fourth. They weren't in the Champions League last season, et cetera, et cetera. So
they could finish third.
Exactly. 1 point off third, sorry. The narrative just seems to be around, sorry, that everyone thinks he's a dickhead and he's not helping himself.
Yeah.
Aloof.
He's a better manager than some of the press and whatnot are suggesting, I think, but it's a very specific type of football in a specific type of way. And I think actually he's done okay at Chelsea, considering it can be a bit of a basket case of a club. I mean, I know they've got good players and whatnot. They're a whisker away from winning a trophy. And they are still on for finishing in the top four. We'll see how that plays out. The thing for me, and it goes back to the same thing, is Chelsea have a decision to make at the end of the season. If you want Sarri, you're going to have to properly back him.
Yeah.
And I know Higuain's come in, and they've tried to do that, and he's having a little bit of time to adjust to the Premier League. And again, talking about Sarri's honesty, he said, yeah, Higuain's struggling to adapt to the league, and was too blunt and brutally honest, I felt. He should have said, well, naturally, players, you know. But then, is it Marcus, to Sarri's credit that he's a bit honest? You know,
earlier in the season, he said, I'm finding it hard to motivate this team. Yeah. That's a suicidal thing to say.
Yeah,
when
true. Therefore, if he's struggling to speak in English, and it's admirable that he does speak English and he's doing that, then maybe at times he should get a translator and speak Italian. And if that's something he's struggling with, it's easy to say, of course, from the outside looking in. But going back to the point about Chelsea, they either need to properly back him and give him a war chest and get the players in that he needs for his system, or they get rid of him. It's either one or two.
Well, it's an interesting test of the sort of new, more streamlined Chelsea's the way they operate, isn't it? To see, are we going to sort of change how we've operated for the last 10 years or so and actually back him and maybe take that hit and be a little bit more patient? Or are we going to go, no, actually, we do demand success a bit sooner than that? It's going to be fascinating to see how they handle this, because, you know, as we touched on before, bringing Sarri in when he himself is with this honesty that we hear about, says that Sarri ball, as he calls it, takes a while to implement. They always knew that this might be the case. So, you know, are they going to be prepared to see through what they themselves have signed up to?
Mm. Yeah. It'd be nice to see Loftus-Cheek among the goals, though.
Yeah.
Mm. Not, but more
it was a couple of minutes here and there.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Something for Hudson-Odoi to aim at.
Some of these young England players can do it. Maybe we should put more trust in them. I don't know. Yeah. Let's see then. A South Coast derby happened in the Premier League, and it was a great win for Southampton. They're on 33 points, along with Brighton and Burnley, who themselves got a good win against Wolves. Two big wins for them. I mean, again, more damaging huge. For Cardiff. You know, you look at the way you think Southampton away to Brighton. Well, maybe hope for a draw that someone's going to take points off somebody there, obviously. Burnley against Wolves, you think, Wolves can do us a favour. It's not worked out for them. But Højbjerg, the way he took his goal, that's a defender there.
I know, yeah.
Making that run and finishing quite beautifully. He's got a few goals this season, actually, Højbjerg. He's an important player for them.
He is, and Højbjerg was getting loads more out of this group of players than his predecessor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look at take from when did they come in? Early December. Take two results possibly. They lost at home to West Ham in the league, and they lost at home to Cardiff in that sickening game where they conceded the goal late.
That's right.
Other than that, not really had a bad result. I mean, because what I mean by that is you go away to Spurs or whatever, you think you're going to lose that. You lose away to Arsenal. You lose away to Man United. Only narrowly lost to Man United. He's actually done a really good job so far. I think they've got a good chance of staying in the Premier League this season. They've got some winnable home games. Huddersfield at home, Bournemouth at home, Wolves at home even, which should see them over the line. And
I think they'll be all right.
I think there's a reason for Southampton fans to be optimistic for next season.
Definitely.
I mean, they've not got a trophy in the cabinet this year, but that's unfortunate for them. But next season they should be all right.
Just took me a moment there.
Yeah. No, I sincerely mean it though. I think
it's nice to see a South Coast side winning a trophy.
Exactly.
Maybe Brighton will do it in the FA Cup.
I'd love that. All joking aside, they should be optimistic for next season because I think Hasenhüttl's got them going. And like I say, he's got loads more out of that team. If you think about how drab they were under Mark Hughes. The players they let go. I know Tadic wanted to go or whatever, but I mean, he's clearly shown himself to be a great player. I know he wanted to leave, but you wonder what could have been if he had played under Hasenhüttl, because he probably would have enjoyed his football a lot more.
And to steer a ship back on course when it's gone so badly off of it deserves a lot of credit for the board and for everyone at the club.
Jim, I've been impressed with Hasenhüttl as soon as he came in. He just looked straight away like he meant business. There's no mucking around. I know he seems like a guy who's got a good grasp of the detail. He's experienced. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's expected. And he can squeeze the value out of the players to get them that extra 5 or 6%, whatever they need to win games like this game here.
Yeah, he looks like
the governor
from
The Walking Dead.
He does a bit, yeah.
He looks like the type of manager, if anyone is not properly pulling their weight in a relegation scrap, he'll have them.
Yeah,
he'll absolutely have them, and that is crucial, you know. But they're still down there on 33 points, as I say, having played 31. The pressure's on Brighton a little bit now. Brighton do have a game in hand on Southampton and two games in hand against over Burnley rather. But losing that one, it was a poor result for them. I wonder with Brighton. I mean, Southampton play Liverpool next, so a tough one. Other than that, they have winnable games. So their running is probably the most preferable out of all the clubs down there. Burnley have Cardiff next, must win. If they lose that, they've got to play Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal still.
Yeah.
Old Burnley.
I think Burnley have Bournemouth next, do they not?
Oh, do they have Bournemouth next? Sorry.
They do play Cardiff soon, though.
Yeah, that is coming up. Sorry, yeah, because Cardiff play Man City and then Burnley game is coming. But Brighton are away to Chelsea next, then their toughest fixture left after that is Spurs.
Yeah.
I think Brighton, just because they've got those extra game or two, they should be okay. But I look at Burnley... And you think that Cardiff game is massive.
Yeah. I think the loser of that game goes down.
Well, Burnley, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal still to play.
Yeah.
After that.
But you talk about playing Huddersfield. Like the plaster's been
They're down, mate.
The plaster's been ripped off for them, though, haven't they?
So yeah, like, true.
So,
like,
so they might be playing with it without that over them. So, yeah. You know, look, I mean, what Newcastle did against Spurs that time.
That's true. Huddersfield have got 18 goals this season.
Well, look at... that's our best bet.
Three of them came recently in a 4-3 defeat to West Ham.
And their goal difference is better than Fulham's.
Yeah, that's not bad for them. Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we go to the Checker Trade Trophy Final and the Scottish Premiership.
They're going down, down to watch the Football Ramble live.
You got 6 months of this.
Yeah.
Ramble and he probably won't change him.
RambleLive.com.
Yeah.
Oh, but before that, though, the preview show will be hitting your drums on Thursday. How did our best better get on, Luke?
He lost because Wolves didn't win. Is that right?
I feel like Wolves let him down.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Was that what it was? It was Wolves, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. So we did a new best better show at thefootballramble.com. I will pick one on Thursday if you email in with best bet in the subject line.
Damn right. Checkatrade.com.
Free little advert for him there.
Yeah, it's the Checkatrade Trophy Final. Portsmouth won it, baby.
It's a good game, wasn't it?
Luke Moore was there in among his people.
Yeah.
The people like him.
Yeah.
Like-minded bunch.
Some of the finest specimens from the South Coast, from what I hear.
For those
the
listening,
finest bell ringers.
I was sat around some of the biggest knuckle draggers in the whole country, which is a bit of a shame. But
a bit rough on your family.
What was your man doing? He was going over to eulogising.
He was going over because I was sat right next to the Sunderland fan. So I was in between idiots and Sunderland fans, who probably some of them are also idiots.
I was going to leave that to Pete.
Anybody who chooses to sit right next to the opposing fans, invariably they're there for one
It was just
thing,
all goading. It was just kind of like, from the Sunderland point of view, it was arguably worse because I suppose they made a longer trip just to stare at the Pompey fans. Mm-hmm. The Pompey fans are away from home and they're like, oh, yeah, great. Let's have a nice day out. They're all, you know, incapacitated in one way or another. And I'll let you fill the blanks in on that. But I was me and my wife were sat in between the two sets of fans. And one of the guys there who fancied himself as this like man of the people, football philosopher, like when people were singing Blue Army and that kind of stuff, which is obviously fine. It's a good atmosphere there. There's a lot of singing going on, which is great. In between like the Blue Army, he was standing like in the space where my seat was, right? In between sort of that and the coverage which separates the fans, that black sort of fabric covering. In between Blue Armies, he was shouting at individual Sunderland fans, you have to understand, we are an island race. Portsmouth is an island. We are an island people. We fought wars from this town.
Oh my
and all this
goodness.
Stuff. And it's like, mate, game's going on.
Yeah.
Game is actually happening.
Aidan McGeady's just scored, mate.
Yeah, again. Got a couple. But anyway, that's a load of old nonsense.
Let's
the most
talk
important
about
thing
actual,
was the game, because it was fantastic.
The actual event, over 85,000 spectators at Wembley.
Oh, it was
incredible.
An incredible atmosphere. It's done wonders for that competition.
Yes.
It was brilliant from start to finish. Really enjoyed that match.
Yeah, it's a record attendance for that trophy. The third most prestigious cup competition, I think, officially in England.
Yeah,
behind FA Cup and then League Cup.
It's over the League Cup. It's over the League Cup.
Nonsense.
Come on. We knocked out Arsenal and Spurs on our way to the final.
Under 23. Versions of Arsenal and Spurs. But it was a game of high drama, without a doubt. Sunderland were better in the first half, you've got to say, Luke Moore.
Oh, Portsmouth didn't.
You can say what you want. Portsmouth won, mate. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Portsmouth terrible in the first half, didn't turn up, and my hope for half time was, look, let's, because Sunderland, for that level, have got some good players. Mm. We know that. And I thought, in the second half, let's at least make a game of it. Let's not come all the way here and not turn up.
Yeah.
The first half, they were awful. It was one of the worst halves of football I've seen from them this season. I think the occasion got to them. But also in the first half, Lee Catamoj ran the show.
Well, this was
at that level, but then he ran out of steam.
Yeah.
And he ran out of steam, which meant Pompey could get back into it. And then they turned the game on its head. I think, I don't have the stats exactly in front of me, but from memory, in the first half, we had like 35% possession and one shot. Mm. By the end of the game, we had an overall 60-odd% possession and about 15 shots. We massively turned it around in the second half. I thought Matt Clark at the back for Portsmouth was just fantastic. I hope we can keep hold of him next season. And you know what? I really wanted Jamal Lowe's goal to be the winner because it was a beauty.
Yeah.
But then, of course, with Portsmouth, as it always happens, I leave the back door open all the time. They don't concentrate. And then McGeady scores that goal, which was as bad as his first goal was good, by the way.
Yeah, it's such drama for neutrals watching it. For a fairly late goal and extra time, you think, oh, that's surely killer. And for McGeady scoring, to get the penalties and whatnot. And only one penalty missed, and poor old Lee Catamol. Yeah. Who's seldom is he described as that.
Yeah, but I didn't really hear that sentence. And self-redacted.
But he was great for them in the first sort of hour or so.
Such a servant for Sunderland. It's a shame for him and Sunderland fans. Just those people, Peter. I'm honing in on them. It's a great shame for them that a stalwart of the club missed the penalty. You know?
And call me a sort of, I mean, some people will listen and not agree with this, and I completely understand that. But, you know, Portsmouth and Sunderland have got like a lot of things in common, right? It's a working class town. Seafaring nation, all
big
that
clubs
kind of stuff.
Though.
Big clubs,
illustrious history.
Big clubs, which are the focal points of the towns, right? Mm.
That have been through a hell of a lot,
and they've both been through in recent years terrible times, as you rightly say, Jim. And to me, maybe I'm being a bit old romantic. It would have been a really nice day out for us where we were sat. If there'd been a bit of camaraderie, a bit of sort of, you know, I don't mind a bit of atmosphere, a bit of singing, a bit of all this kind of stuff, a bit of back and forward. But it was just really nasty.
But you
like
have to understand.
You're an island people. Yeah. You fought wars from that seat.
Yeah, no, it's true. Every time like a Sunderland fan came back from like getting a beer or going to the toilet or something, Pompey fans were just leaping on him, shouting at him, calling him a fat bastard. It's like, watch the game. Just watch the game. There's plenty to get involved in.
I do fear that...
There's only a handful of them, by the way. I'm not saying all fans are like
but
that.
I do fear I've been in crowds where I think certain substances are taken before football matches that weren't taken probably 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And it brings out the worst in footballers, especially when they've had a drink.
And do you know what really annoys me about the whole thing?
Football fans, you mean? You're not suggesting that footballers are doing that before they go
some of them.
What annoys me about the whole thing?
25 years ago, they were.
Is the game was great. It was a brilliant game, and you guys would have seen it, and I'm sure it was as good on TV as it was at the stadium, and it was a great day out
overall.
Don't
let them ruin it for you.
No, but it's not that, Marcus, right? You can make a joke about that kind of stuff, but I'm like a white bloke who's perfectly safe in that environment, right? But football shouldn't just be for white blokes who are safe in that environment. Football should be for not just women, not just young people, not just kids, but older people as well.
Yeah.
And everyone should get a chance to go and watch their team and have a good day out. They've paid 60 quid for a ticket, by the way, and they've paid however much it costs to get up there. It shouldn't be ruined by dickheads. It shouldn't be certain young, mostly white men who move in packs, who use a football game as an excuse for terrible behaviour, which unsettles and makes other people in that ground feel unsafe, whether they support the opposite team or actually what happened when where I was sat, their own fans as well, which I think is absolutely disgraceful.
It's a wider, certainly on certain aspects of that politically, it's a wider problem. It's the rise of populism in Europe. It's the rise of that kind of uniting of the fucking Tommy Robinson. You had fucking Tommy Robinson in the fucking square a few days ago.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Like he's Prime Minister or something. Jesus Christ.
But at the beginning of it, it was a bit of a situation where I felt, I don't know if I should have brought my wife and put her in this position. Mm. And she's absolutely fine. She's robust and all that kind of stuff. But it felt a bit like, even I'm even thinking that, that's a shame. It's a shame. It shouldn't put me off going. I've been going to Ports since 1991. And I'm no way the most, I'm not the easiest of intimidated people. I'm not saying I'm the toughest, but I'm not the easiest of intimidated. Mm. So I just don't imagine what it's like for other people who don't feel that comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think people should enjoy themselves, have a great time and generate as an atmosphere as best they can. But also, understand that the world doesn't fucking revolve around
you. I find that with a lot of crowds, like, I've only been at the cricket once, and the game seems to be a sideshow to what's actually happening in the stands.
That's
just lads in fancy dress running around with the fucking pint glasses and the
darts is
like,
another one.
Like just showing off, and it's like, look at me, it's the Instagram guy. I hate to sound like an old fuddy duddy, but like it's the look at me, look at what I can do, look at what it's the guy with the fucking in the Rangers and Celtic shirt walking around. That was on. Well, yeah,
I did
that first, but I did that in a performance environment. We were there to be watched.
It was
for better or worse.
You were the main performer.
We were the main performer. But it's look at me, look how much.
Same
with
darts, horse racing, boxing, all the same. If you go watch a boxing mob fight now, it's so different. Yeah. Anyway, that's not it.
Look,
it's a great game.
Lads,
we won a trophy. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. Come down, Fulham. You'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly. they don't win anything.
They win the hearts and minds of the some of the public. They did win the playoff final, though, last year.
They did. I remember it well.
I'd say it was a bigger trophy than the Chequered trade, but there we are.
You would say that, mate. That's entirely your own opinion to hold.
But the Sunderland fans, they mobbed Central London as well and seemed to be in good spirits from what I saw.
I would say that 80% of all the fans I saw were having a great time and good on them.
Yeah.
I don't want to labour the point. It's boring for people, I'm sure. It was a great day out overall. It was a great game, a game befitting a final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great advert for that trophy, which has got the most press and has been boycotted by certain sets of fans this season. It's a great advert for that trophy. Very, very happy overall.
Absolutely. And, you know, why can't we all just get along?
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
and in the spirit of that, let's talk about the Old Firm derby.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there was no bad behaviour at all.
But it was on the pitch.
Yeah, mainly on the pitch, yeah.
It was the footballers who were kicking off. Good win for Celtic, of course. The usual fiery encounter between these sides. Morelos, red card. Who would have predicted that?
Yeah. Stephen Gerrard even said after the game, didn't he? I just can't defend him anymore.
It was amazing. It was, I will deal with it internally. I can't defend him anymore. He will be punished.
Yeah. Poor old Gerrard, yeah. I mean, Morelos, I think that was his fifth red card this season.
Yeah.
I think the first one might have been rescinded.
What ban will he get now then?
I don't know. I think they've used all the bans.
Right.
It's just like, just get out. Stop playing.
And the thing is,
you're not welcome back.
You can't
anymore.
Speak for 3 days.
You've been expelled from the league.
I know the Old Firm derby is a very almost unique occasion in world football for lots of different reasons. Some of them good, some of them bad. And if you're a footballer though, and you're playing in it, your responsibility is to play the game, not the occasion, right?
Yeah.
And for
getting wound up by Scott Brown.
I know. I mean, who, by the way, he could have. I mean, he might as well set him a postcard to say he was going to do that. You know he's going to do that.
Yep.
And the reason he's going to do that is because you're one of the most threatening players. You're probably the most likely player to score.
Absolutely.
And to walk into that hook, line, sinker.
What a honey trap
ridiculous.
That was. It was ridiculous, as you say.
Half hour in as well.
For Gerrard, it must have been so maddening. Just you've been wound up by Scott Brown. Yeah. The archetypal wind up merchant in these sorts of things. And what you've swung an elbow at him. And what's Scott Brown going to do? He's going to go, brilliant, job done. There we go.
Eight he was literally
row.
Laughing.
Eight in a row, lads. Easy peasy. Yeah. You know, look forward to the next one. And then what was his name? Kent, Jack Kent, who scored the goal. Was that a punch? Ryan, like in the centre, sir?
Is it Ryan Kent?
Ryan Kent, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Or Clark Kent, I forget.
Yeah. Depends if he's got his glasses on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Kent was very, very lucky not to be sent off. And then, and then Halliday was sent off after the full-time whistle, given the red card.
Brown just has a very punchable face.
It does. However, Rangers at least made a little bit of a go of it and made it a bit of a contest because... Before the game, you know, I know that Rodgers is away, but Neil Lennon knows the club very well, of course, and has been successful there. For them to go 1-0 up and then Rangers to go down to 10 men, you thought, oh, this is going to be a bit
In context, no one thought Rangers would be anywhere near Celtic this season.
And they're not, but... No, but they
made a good run of it for a good part of the season.
Gerrard's definitely got Rangers playing better. Mm. And Gerrard, actually, I think... It's interesting to see Gerrard this season. Obviously, his first job as a manager, but he's come in and... He said a couple of times at press conferences, it's interesting what he said about Morales after the game there. Very understandable, though.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times where he's basically just saying to some of the Rangers players and has said, he's not dug anyone out in particular, but he's been more generic, but he's basically saying it's not good enough. And he's saying, league titles. This is Rangers for crying out loud. Yeah. And he's got that winning mentality, which he's brought to the job.
Well, he's never in his whole football career not been at a place where he's not expected to win.
Yeah, exactly.
And you hear that all the time.
And he's bringing that into management. Now, you've got to make sure that you don't rub the players the wrong way about that. And if you do, you've got to decide whether it's the right player for the team.
It's exactly the reason why Gerrard retired as a player at Liverpool, why players like Scholes and Giggs and Roy Keane and all the rest of it don't want to go and play down the leagues. Yeah, I said to you guys before, Mickey Gray, who's used to playing... at a very high level, when he stepped down towards the end of his career, lower to what he was used to, he said it was horrible. I hated going to work because the players didn't want to play. They don't want to take responsibility. Matt Taylor in a Ramble Meets episode we did said the same thing. The players at League Two level are weak. They don't want to try hard. Not all of them. Mm. So all of them play, some of them get to the level they deserve to get to, but a lot of them are just excuse makers.
Yeah.
And so Gerrard it'll be complete anathema to Gerrard, regardless of how good Celtic are. To even tolerate the idea that they shouldn't be winning the title. Of course, the rest of us go, well, hang on a minute, that's a bit ambitious because Celtic are great. Mm. It's not his responsibility to think
but
that.
But what are they? There were sort of 13 points or something off Celtic now.
But at one point, sort of around, a couple of months ago, they were a bit close.
They were, but the reason why they're there is not because, you know, they've lost four times or five times to Celtic in the league this season, or they don't play them five times. It's because of sloppy results elsewhere.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying, okay, you can lose at Celtic Park. 2-1, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough... Obviously, you don't want to make that acceptable, but it's understandable. But when they're dropping points, last-minute equalisers and whatnot against teams they should be beating...
Well, they lost at Livingston, didn't they? And they lost...
They've dropped points, but sloppy points.
And lost Gerrard, to Aberdeen, a man set off in that game as well. Yeah, well probably Morelos. I think it was Morelos, actually.
There you go. So, Gerrard, I think it will be fascinating to see where he goes as a coach because I've actually been quite impressed by the way he's handled himself and whatnot.
Yeah.
In what could have been a tricky situation, I would have thought he would stay on unless he got a better offer. I wouldn't have thought that he would as yet. Well, he might get offers, but as in, I think he might just stay there and actually try and stop Celtic getting the nine in the row.
They didn't finish second in the league last season, so it's already an improvement, no matter what the points tally is. So
there we are. There we are, guys. It's now time to go to the WhatsApp group.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium exists. It is there. It wasn't a red herring all along.
It's not a mirage.
No, we've seen... Well, there's been a couple of games played, but we saw a lovely old affair between former Spurs players and former Inter players.
Mm. Chris Waddle fuming.
He was. The Waddler was left out.
Wasn't invited, apparently.
What a great shame. Gazza made a 10-minute cameo, though. Sadly, he injured himself in the warm-up, which was a great shame because we'd like to see more of old Gazza. Mm. But he played. But Robbie Keane scored, did his little celebration.
Yeah, he did. Massively offside.
Eric Torsved involved. Timu Tainu.
Eric Torsford,
he has enjoyed retirement.
Was Eric Torsford trying to take the heat off Hugo Lloris?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he didn't. Not brilliant, but there we are. Dimitar Berbatov,
still looking
lovely
good,
header.
Still looking sharp.
David Ginola, nice to see him. Darren Anderton,
Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho.
Just making sure he's getting his face seen around town.
he wasn't even the Interlegends manager, because that was Toldo, Francesco Toldo. He was like his assistant, just helping out.
Yeah. Just get your face around. Nice. Have a look around the stadium in case the opportunity comes up. Yeah.
Like, how much helping out is required?
Spurs fan Lord Ramble said he was disappointed that Ginola only played a few minutes. I was like, he's had a heart attack.
I was going to say that. Lord Ramble. A few minutes more than
And he still smokes. So.
Have you seen with the new stadium the Spurs Cockerel's been scanned, like 3D scanned, and then reproduced at twice the scale.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's absolutely massive. And it's even got like the pockmarks that Paul Gascoigne made with an air rifle.
Yeah.
Has it really?
Yeah. Brilliant that.
So he's left his stamp on the new ground.
That's his legacy.
Legacy.
it did seem like an arsehole affair. 5-4, the Inter.
Oh, it was fun. I would watch a Champions League of that kind of nonsense. As long as you got the big ticket. Veron's flick for.
Veron meant Veron's business. Flick,
The warm up for every Champions League game
should be
the
that.
Legends
yeah.
of each team.
Veron looks exactly the same.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Similar work rate, you could argue.
Yeah, Zanetti looks exactly the same. It's no coincidence, these players. Like.
That's the thing with Veron. He went on quite long, didn't he? I think he went back to Argentina and won the league at Estudiantes. Yeah. It's a hell of an achievement.
Which basically bald with a goatee for most of your career. Mm. You can age into that quite
He's
easily.
He's born like that.
You can.
An egg, by the way. An egg.
Yeah, very much
Of an egg,
But the way he was running around the pitch, I just thought he hasn't changed a bit from when he was a player. And that's a compliment now.
Yeah, but it wasn't there.
But of course, absolutely right. So a lovely warm affair at Spurs New Ground. So we look forward to the
games. Can I squeeze in a little email about now?
Yeah, sure.
Lads, on the subject of footballing landlords, because we spoke about Solskjaer kicking Van Dijk out of his house. I'm happy to report that a friend of mine, while at university, rented a flat from none other than Shola Amiobi.
Ooh. Wow. Was it really messy?
Mrs. Amiobi dealt with the more administrative and communicative side of things, okay. Baller would often be sent round to make repairs and do odd jobs.
No way!
I am not putting a bowling ball on that shelf. I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
That's right on your noggin.
How much would you love that, Donny?
I would bloody love that. I'd break things just so you'd come round.
I'm just starting a game of FIFA. Do you fancy it?
Oh, my goodness.
Tragically, my pal, a Derby County fan, never drummed up the courage to talk to Shaw about football on the occasions he was round bleeding radiators and painting the skirting boards.
Imagine Shola
painting your skirting boards.
Class.
You'd paint everywhere, wouldn't there?
You painted everywhere in the house apart from the skirting boards.
Do you want an apple?
Unless it's a Sunderland themed room. It'll be spot on.
Did you see...
Glorious.
Also, after the Checkered Trophy final, there was a lad going flying from London to, I presume, Newcastle Airport. And he was sat next to Alan Shearer, but the lad was a Sunderland fan.
Right.
So after the match, they'd been beaten. And then he had to sit next to Alan Shearer.
No. Being taunted.
For 45 minutes.
Alan Shearer's watching the highlights of his final. There we go.
Gorgeous. Wonderful. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
See you later, pricks.
Thank you, Jim Gamble.
Thank you, pricks.
Yeah, see you, pricks.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.